We're going to be reading from John chapter 6, verse 25 to 40, and then 47 and 49, the page 891 if you happen to have a church Bible. John chapter 6. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" And Jesus answered them, "This is the works of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what signs do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them the bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whomever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." And then verse 47. "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your father ate the manna in the wilderness and they died." So far the reading.
Well, we are drawing to a close, actually, in our look at the Gospel of John. We're going to stop at the end of this chapter, chapter 6. Next week, as I've already mentioned, we look forward to the profession of faith and to the girls who would share. And as part of that service, Gerald is going to finish off the chapter from verse 60 through to the end, as he shares a little then. Our hope beyond preaching the Gospel of John is, God willing, that I will have a couple of weeks where we will preach a couple of sermons relating again to the idea of making disciples and how that ties into the mission of the church, this church specifically, but also the church worldwide. So we want to take a couple of weeks to look at that. And then again, following that, as Gerald and I have planned and prepared, we're then going to take some time in the book of Daniel. So that's where we're heading over the next number of weeks and months. And so for me then, I am left with what is a very large section here, verses 28 to 59, which is far more than can be covered in one sermon. We could take genuinely weeks to go through some of what is here. It is deep and it is rich. And I trust that you might have opportunity yourself to consider some of what is in here. But this week in particular, we're considering where we've left off with Jesus having fed the 5,000 and then walking on the water, and then the next day, the people coming to him. And this week I saw a story as I was studying and doing work for this sermon from Russia. It took place last year, and it was a promotion of sorts by Domino's Pizza in Russia. They posted on social media and in various other places and platforms that if anyone got the Domino's tattoo, or Domino's logo tattooed on their body somewhere visible, then by sharing it on social media, once it was verified, they would win a lifetime supply of pizza. Okay? 100 pizzas a year for 100 years. All right? 100 pizzas a year for 100 years. They started this on the 31st of August and said it would run for only 2 months, only till the 31st of October. They had to stop after 5 days. People went nuts for it. 2 pizzas a week, every week for 100 years. Let's get a tattoo. They said it would cost on average $30. Of course people are going to do that. I think the people in Domino's hadn't clearly thought that one through. They had obviously underestimated what people will do for food. Certainly when it is free. People will travel and do all sorts for food. And this is actually what we find today in the passage. We pick up after Jesus has fed the 5,000, he and his disciples have crossed to the other side of the sea. And then the people go and try and find them. And they know that the boat is gone. And so they themselves travel to the other side of the lake. Because he's fed them yesterday. And it says they want another fill. They want another feed. And so I don't know how big, maybe I can find out how big that lake is, that sea, how far they had to travel, how long it would take. But people will do anything for food. And certainly when it's free. And if this guy Jesus can take 5 loaves and 2 fish and feed 5,000, well, what's he going to do today? And so that's the situation we find. They believed that once again he could feed them, and they were willing to pay the cost in order to find him so that he could do just that, so that he could fill their bellies. And yet later, when Jesus said, actually what you need is to be truly filled, which is to be satisfied in your soul now and to have your sins forgiven and for all eternity be in relationship with me. Well, that's too much. I'm not willing to believe. I'm not willing to go that far. I'll cross the lake, I'll get in a boat, I'll risk my life, I'll do that for free food. But ask me to believe in you? No, that's too much. That's too far. I'm not willing to believe to that extent. And so this morning we are going to think particularly about believing. And I think it's fitting actually, as it's my last week preaching here in John for the time being, but it sums up a lot of what we've considered so far. That there is belief and there is belief. There's a belief that says this far and no more, but that's not actually belief. And so we've got to consider and challenge ourselves with these things this morning. So let me pray as we seek the Lord's help. Heavenly Father, there are many things that we do and we're willing to pay a cost for and work hard at. And yet, Lord, in this passage, we are told not to seek after and go after the things of this world, the food that perishes. Lord, the praise of man, a desire for riches and wealth, for things, for experiences, for whatever it may well be, for pleasure in life. We're not to seek after these things apart from you, Lord. These things perish. They do not last. You tell us to seek after you. And Lord, there is a cost to that as well. And Lord, we need to challenge ourselves as to whether or not we are willing to pay that cost, believing and knowing and experiencing true satisfaction that lasts now and for all eternity. Lord, there's much to grasp. There is a need for us to examine ourselves, and we just pray now that you illumine us, open our eyes, let us see, let us understand. Help us to be honest with ourselves. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come and work to change us. So Lord, give us ears to hear, we pray, as we seek your help now in Jesus' name. Amen. Said that throughout the book of John up to this point, there's been a lot to do with believing. And in particular, there is a believing which leads to life. So we come to John chapter 3. In verse 36, we read, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. We spoke about that at that time. We're not going to go into it again, but how he speaks of believing has eternal life and he who does not obey. That should help us even already this morning to understand what it means to truly believe. That there's an element of obedience in our belief. And so there is a belief which leads to eternal life, and there is a belief or a lack of belief or no belief which means that the wrath of God remains on us. People will be separated eternally, as the Bible clearly calls that hell. Jesus comes that we have life now and forevermore in heaven. It is a believing that will cause us to be raised up on the last day, will cause us to go to be with God in heaven. But there's also a believing which doesn't do this. It is the believing that wants God simply to do things for you. It's a believing which wants God just to give you things. It's a believing in a Jesus who is useful rather than precious. It's a believing that makes Jesus in our own mold. It's a belief that he can do things for you. It's a belief that he can do miracles and amazing things and not much more. And the Bible says that's not true belief. That's not true belief. That is not belief which leads to life. That's not belief which will lead to being raised on the last day. If we look again at John 6 and we compare verses 26 and 27, this is when they have crossed over to the other side, they've found Jesus, and they said to him, "When did you come here?" Jesus doesn't answer that question, but he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." They're willing to believe that if they pay the cost and go all that way, Jesus is going to feed them again. They're going to get more food. And Jesus says, "Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." We can compare verse 26 and 27 in parallel. Jesus says, "You seek me because you ate your fill of loaves." And Jesus says, "Do not labor for the food which perishes." Jesus is comparing their seeking him to be satisfied with physical bread. He's comparing that to laboring for food that perishes. He's saying there's so much more than just eating and drinking and being satisfied in this life. There's so much more than that. And do not seek me for that alone. The people were seeking Jesus. They believed in his miracle-working power. But Jesus calls this believing laboring for food that perishes. And he commands them not to do it. Do not labor for the food that perishes, he says. Verse 36 says something very similar as well. "But I said to you," Jesus says, "I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe." They don't truly believe. They've seen him do miracles. They've experienced his provision. They've had gifts of food from him, and yet they still do not believe. And so the lesson is this. It is possible to seek Jesus. It is possible to believe in his power, but be totally lost and worldly minded. In our situation, what that means is this, is that you can be a religious person, you can believe many right things, many biblical truths, and not be born again. What is missing is a spiritual feeding on Christ, a delighting in him, delighting in all that he stands for and has done, a delighting in all that he has commanded, and a submission to his word. This is really what the rest of that we won't even get to in John 6 will cover. He links eating and believing. So there's a few verses we want to look at as we try and understand this a little bit further. If we look at verse 29, Jesus says to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." To do the works of God is to believe in him. But then we also read in verse 54 to 56, "Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him." So to believe on him, we have eternal life, and to feed on him is to have eternal life. And so he's tying together this feeding and believing as one and the same thing. He then goes on again as well in verse 36. We've just read it. "I say to you that you have seen me and yet you do not believe." Oh, sorry, no, that's the wrong one. Verse 35. "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." An eternal satisfaction, an eternal life in God, which is promised to us as we feed on him, as we believe. Verse 51 is an important verse as well. Jesus says, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Further on again from verse 57, "As the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." There's a lot in there, I realize, but it's largely saying the same thing. Believing on Jesus brings eternal life. And so whenever we read here in this passage that what Jesus desires is for us to feed on him, that we must eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, it is all talking about the same thing. It's all talking about believing in him. That is the work that we are to do. In verse 35, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Jesus is this bread that brings eternal life. Believing in Jesus as this bread will cause us to be raised with him to heaven. And so coming to Jesus and trusting in him is what it means to eat the true bread of heaven. To believe is to come to him and to trust in him, to follow him always. That is what it truly means to believe in him. And that's really, in so many ways, what I want to get to today. What does it really mean to believe? Because throughout John, we've seen people believe as such, but we're told Jesus didn't entrust himself to them. But they do believe to the point where they're willing to cross the lake, but they're not born again. They only believe that he can give them stuff and be powerful and maybe be a king that they want him to be. So what is true belief like? Well, verse 51 we just read, and we can read again, says to us, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Becomes a bit clearer. Jesus means that we are to be nourished with the benefits of his death. We are to be nourished with the benefits of his death. That requires us to acknowledge that we are sinful and that we need a savior, and that forgiveness comes only through Jesus' death on the cross for us. Causes us to have to acknowledge that to be raised to be with him in heaven, we need to be made right with God. And so to believe is not simply to trust that Jesus was a good or a loving man only, but we pin all our hopes on the forgiveness that he purchased on the cross. All our hopes are entrusted to what he did there. And this belief is a continual believing. I'm going to make this point clear as well. I know, and I'm sure you will understand it. Believing in Jesus is not simply a one-off believing. something that was done at some point in the past where we thought, oh, I believe, I'm a sinner, I need a saviour, and that is it. It's not either a belief that says, yeah, I believe in Jesus, I believe he's real, I believe he came, I believe the Bible's true. It's not simply a verbal acknowledgement of belief in Jesus. It is so much more. It is a belief that entirely transforms our lives. It is a belief that is required of us every single day. I think if you think about your own eating in regards to this, we've said it already, that people love food. But here's a thing I'm sure that you've likely all said at some point. I am so full, I couldn't eat another thing. But then I'm also fairly sure, if I'd heard you say that, what, an hour, maybe give it two at max later, you've probably thought, actually, you know what? I could manage something else. Christmas is a classic example of that. Certainly in the UK, where everybody has hot roast dinners and turkey, all that kind of stuff. You don't get to your dinner or your lunch until maybe mid-afternoon, 2 or 3 o'clock. That's when you sit down and you eat. And you have starter, you have main course, you probably have seconds, you have dessert, whatever you're going to eat, cheese and crackers, all that kind of stuff. And then you sit down, you just couldn't eat any more. And then it gets to like 6 o'clock, which is maybe like your normal dinner time. And your body starts kicking in saying, hey, actually, there's a bit of leftovers there in the kitchen. Maybe some Christmas cake, maybe some cheese, some crackers. There's always chocolate around. You know what? I could go again. The thing with eating is we want to do it again. Most of us do not deny ourselves when it comes to eating. Most of us will eat 3 meals a day, probably snack in between. So why is believing and feeding upon Jesus any different? It is something that we need to continually do. We need to continually remind ourselves of his promises, continue to remind ourselves of what it is that he commands of us and asks of us. We must continually, daily preach the gospel to ourselves to be reminded of what it is truly that we believe in. It's interesting, I think, when we read here in John 6, the work that you are to do is that you believe in him. This is the labor, this is the work that he has for us to do. This is what we are to expend our effort in doing. This is what we are to work at believing. I think for most of us, eating is not in any way work or a chore. We enjoy it, it's delicious. We don't deny ourselves of it. But at times it can feel like being a Christian is somehow a chore, it's hard work. And Jesus says here, the work that you're to do is to feed on me, to believe in me. So you need to work at it. It's not just something that you've done once off in the past when you've believed and now no more. It's something that daily you must do to nourish your whole being. If you want joy, then you need to feed on Jesus. If you want peace, you need to feed on Jesus. If you want guidance, you need to feed on Jesus. This belief will cause us to press in, to pull, to get, to strive, to keep Jesus front and center of our lives. This is what it means for us to believe. I imagine many of you will know this passage from Matthew 7. Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. It does not say this. It does not say that you can enter in a narrow gate and then walk on a wide path. This is no such thing. You enter through the narrow gate and you walk on the narrow way. And yet I think many Christians see that somehow to enter the narrow gate, to come to Jesus, is to believe in him, and that's entering through the narrow gate, and then I can do what I want. I can walk on the wide path. There's not such a path if you've entered through the narrow gate. If you're walking on the wide path, it's because you've not entered through the narrow gate. That is what he's saying here. There is a belief that leads to destruction because it's no belief at all. It's believing Jesus can give me things and do things for me, and it's a belief that costs me nothing. That's no belief at all. You cannot enter through the narrow gate then walk on the wide path. And it is costly and it is work, sure. But it is the most satisfying, most joy-filled, peace-filled delight of our lives. Because it's what we were made for. You were made for this. You were made for Jesus. To be in relationship with him now and forever. To walk with him, to be like him. There's a verse in Psalms which tells us, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. When you come to him, truly come to him, and feed on him, feast on him, truly believe in him, you will not be disappointed. You will not fail to be satisfied. And if you are truly believing, truly feeding on him, then it should cause you to want to come back for more and more and more, time and time, over and over again. That's the kind of feeding that we should be doing. That's the kind of believing that should be part of our lives. It's interesting that in this chapter there are many references to Moses and the Israelites in the desert, of course, as God sent the manna from heaven for them. And if you remember, they were told to gather only enough for each day. They couldn't gather enough for one day to last the next. It was a daily provision God gave them. And in the same way, we must consider that we daily need God. We daily need to press and strive and work and labor to believe. And then the next day, God will be merciful to us and we can do it all over again. We're not to live off yesterday's food. We're not to live off a belief of some time when I was a teenager and I made a commitment to Christ. It is a daily believing. We need a good, healthy, plentiful diet of the bread of heaven. We need to examine our belief. Is it a work? Is it a labor? Or is it an easy believism that costs nothing? Because if it is, that's not true belief. I was thinking of a program that I once watched in the UK. It was called You Are What You Eat. You Are What You Eat. Now, that's maybe a little misunderstanding, because I'm sure you realize that if you eat a cheeseburger, you will not necessarily become a cheeseburger. I probably don't have to point that out. But basically, it's saying you are what you eat. If you eat and have a diet that consists of unhealthy, fatty, sugary snacks and meals, you can expect a particular result, which is physically, you will not be healthy, mentally as well. It will not be good for you. I still remember watching a program where there were two men who swapped diets and lifestyles for a month, 4 weeks. They were only to eat what the other person would have eaten, and they were only to exercise the equivalent of what the other person would have done as well. And so there was one vastly overweight man who ate fried breakfasts every day, lots of takeout food, lots of sugary drinks and alcohol, and who did no exercise. The other guy was a tradesman, a joiner. He exercised regularly, ate a healthy diet, no chocolate, no sugary drinks or snack. They monitored all sorts of things, their weight, their cholesterol, and much, much more. They each met with a psychologist every week to make sure they could continue on in the experiment. And after a week, the tradesman was struggling. He would have had a healthy cereal for breakfast, and instead, bacon, egg, sausage, the works. He said at first he did okay, even though he didn't enjoy it. After 2 weeks, his appearance had changed. He was tired and he wasn't sleeping well. He was lethargic, he'd already put on weight, he had no motivation, he was struggling to eat all these meals, the amount that this other guy would have eaten. At the end of the month, I still remember watching this, it was quite shocking. This man was almost depressed. He'd stopped exercising as the experiment required him to do, but he had no energy or motivation to do anything. He didn't want to go into work. He had a visible bulge in his tummy that wasn't there before. What we feed on changes us. Physically, yes, but spiritually, absolutely so as well. The other man, as you can imagine, he struggled at first. struggled to eat salad and fruit and healthy meals, and found himself hungry a lot of the time. He also struggled to do any kind of exercise. He'd never done it. But it wasn't long before he started feeling less tired during the day. He felt more positive. He could start to see the difference in his weight. It was an extraordinary comparison, and one that might be obvious to us all. But as soon as the experiment was over, the tradesman went back to his healthy lifestyle, and the unhealthy man kept up his new healthy lifestyle because he could see the benefit of it. And so when it comes to Jesus and our feeding on him, our believing in him has to have results. There has to be a visible change in us, in all that we do. If we say we believe in him and we are not being transformed, then we must ask if we're truly believing in him. And if we feed on him, we will be satisfied. You cannot fail to be satisfied. The final thing for this morning I want to look at is verse 30. It's quite an incredible verse. Jesus has fed them, for the 5,000 men, so we're saying maybe 15 up to 20,000 when you include women and children. The next day, they've found him. And Jesus says to them, the work of God is to believe in me. And they say in verse 30, then what sign do you do that we may see you and believe you? What work do you perform? I'm sorry, but are you kidding me? Were you not there yet? You were there yesterday. You did get food, right? You saw that he fed all tens of thousands of you with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And you're saying, what sign do you show us that I should believe in you? That's baffling, absolutely baffling. But it is really poignant. It makes me think of the Israelites in the desert. Again, it touches on it here. And it says, they say, our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. They're saying, they were in the desert for 40 years and they got food every single day. Jesus, what are you going to do that we should believe in you? Yeah, you fed us yesterday, but what are you going to do today? That's essentially what they are saying. They're looking for a sign. Yesterday wasn't enough. I need something today. I want more. You also remember the Israelites, having seen all these incredible miracles, the exodus out of Egypt, walking through the sea, all these incredible things. And they fell away from him. Time and time again, they fell away from him. We don't need more signs. That's not what we need. We need Jesus, truly. We need to feed on him. You see, I think that some people stop believing. And that's why they no longer walk with him. He saved them, given his life for them, and yet at some time, maybe they just don't get from him what they want or they asked him for. So they stop believing. Like these people, as we get to the end of the chapter, as Gerald touches on it next week, they're going to stop believing. Because the teaching's too hard. They don't want to feed on Jesus. They want more than that. They want miracles. They want signs. They want bread. He's not enough. So they stop believing. They turn away. They no longer follow him. It's a danger for me and you as well. That we can stop believing in him because he doesn't give us what we want anymore. Doesn't do for us what we want. And we believe in him for what? For why? For him alone? Or for what he can give us? What kind of belief do we have? I think people believe that they no longer actually need to daily feed on Jesus. So they stop following him. I think people believe that they no longer need to evangelize. They believe that they do not need to walk in holiness. They believe that they do not need to live a life of purity. Because I've entered a narrow gate, I can walk in the wide path. It doesn't matter what I believe now. And Jesus says that is not true. True belief, enter through the narrow gate, walk on the narrow path. To believe in him truly, to continually, daily feed on him. Some of us no longer believe that we need to be transformed. We stop believing these things, then there's every possibility we're going to stop believing him altogether and walk far from him. We were made to be in relationship with Jesus. He is the only one who can satisfy. We must not snack lightly, but we must work and labor to believe. When we do, we are promised in verse 36, whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. It doesn't mean you'll never be disappointed. It doesn't mean that life is going to be easy all of a sudden. But Jesus says there is more. There's more to life than what you see. There's more to life than what is just simply temporary. And you were made for more. You were made for Jesus. So come to Jesus. Come, believe, and be satisfied in him. Amen.